Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 76. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher, I'm a podcaster, author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers and food bloggers just like you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's a bonus episode and also the very last episode of 2021. Personally, as an avid listener of podcasts, I love these end of year reviews, especially when it's by people whose work I really admire or whose creative business I look at and think, oh my God, I want my business to be like that. Because there's usually one or two pieces of advice that I can, you know, latch on to and then apply to my own business. My hope is that there's something here for you too. So what I'm going to do in this episode is take a look back at the last 12 months and highlight some of the things that have worked really well for the Little Plantation, and then also some things that actually haven't been so amazing that I really want to focus on changing. And as I said, I'm really hopeful that it is somehow helpful for you too. So the very first thing that worked really well in my business this year is my practice of setting goals. So I really start thinking about my goals for the following year, kind of around October, November time. And I might sketch ideas out or just write them down. I have a diary. I'll link to that in the show notes. I've mentioned it before. Malpaper, I think it's called. There's like a section there where you can jot down notes, and I just jot things down as they come up. And then the very last part of the year, so I usually take kind of between Christmas and New Year's off, I will look at that list and then pull out the things that excite me the most and create a list of goals from that I will focus on in my creative business. And I did that at the very start of this year. And what I did differently this year versus other years is that I didn't only write the goals down, but I referred back to them continuously. So especially the very, very start of the year, I would check in daily with those goals and just be like, wait a minute. Okay, I'd forgotten I wanted to do that. Just constantly referring back to it, basically. And that really helped me stay on track and ensure that everything that I did, every decision that I made was with a focus on those goals. So I was thinking, wait a minute, if I do X, will that actually lead me to complete that goal that I set, the one that I've committed to for these next 12 months? And referring back, which I didn't used to do so much, but I was like religious about it this year, really allowed me to achieve my goals. Like I think except for one goal, I've achieved all of them. And the goal that I haven't achieved is within reach. So it's more about a matter of time rather than that it's not going to come true. But that practice has really helped, and I've really fine-tuned that this year as well. So it's been really, really powerful, and writing it down and referring back to it and then just developing a couple more strategies and techniques around that has really kind of transformed my business this year. Yeah, it feels kind of like a superpower, as it were. And that's been really, really powerful, and something I definitely focus on with my mentorees and will continue to do so because it's life-changing. The second thing I did this year, and piggybacking onto that, as it were, I do this every year, but I set a word of the year. So again, I take a little bit of time to find the word that I want to carry with me every single day, every single week. And this year I chose impact. That was my word of the year. And so what I did is I wrote it in my diary, and then I also wrote it on a blackboard that's here in my studio office. And again, like every decision that I made was through that lens. Well, is this going to allow me to have the impact that I really want to have? Or is this going to steer me off course and take me down a rabbit hole that is going to pull me away from my goals, pull me away from that intention that I really want to pour into the world, so to say. You know, like, I want to have a positive impact. Is this going to allow me to do that? And again, just continually referring back to that and making decisions with that word in the back of my mind was really transformative this year. Now, there are two things connected to that that didn't work so well for me this year, and something that I definitely need to consider as I set my goals for the new year. And the first thing is that I set too many goals, and too many really big goals. And so, yes, I completed them all, but it came at a cost. It came at a really high cost. So that's definitely something I want to do differently next year, in having big, lofty goals, but also knowing, either creating a system that will allow me to do that without spreading myself too thin, or simply giving myself permission to not have to do everything in one go. You know, I wouldn't say to be less ambitious, that's not the right way of putting it, but to rein things in a tiny little bit, I would say. Because I also had personal goals, you know, that had nothing to do with the Little Plantation as a creative business. That was spending more time with my son, more time with my husband, returning to my yoga practice, which I let go because of the pandemic in 2020. But a lot of my personal goals really took a backseat to allow my business goals to be the drivers, so to say. And I need to, like, I'd love to be able to balance that better. So I prioritized business over personal, and next year I'd like to strike the balance differently. So I think I'm, you know, a driven person, and I'm an ambitious person, and I just love what I do. So a lot of times it doesn't feel like work, but I think I just tipped it a little bit too far, the business side of things, and let the personal side, and also stuff around my health and, you know, all the things that I need actually to be my best, I let that slip. So that didn't work so well. So in terms of what you can take away from this, you know, I'd love for you to explore whether setting goals and writing them down is going to be helpful for you, whether setting a word of the year and referring back to it is going to be helpful for you. But also, I would invite you to have a look back at your year and see if there are certain things, certain actions, certain people, certain situations that pull you away from the path that you want to walk along. And if there are there ways to mitigate those factors, to preempt their negative impact and buffer yourself against them, so that as you enter this new year, you've got systems in place that will help you move forward in your business, in your photography, in your food blogging, in your life, really. So yeah, I'd love to invite you to maybe spend a little bit of time to think about that. And of course, if you'd love my guidance, be sure to join the waitlist for the mastermind as well, if you feel that that could be a way for you to tread further along your path and reach those goals, those lofty goals. I think the other thing that I'm really proud of, and that was a success this year, was the fact that I published my book, Creative Food Photography. And it's really interesting, because I would say, and I'm thinking about doing another kind of separate episode about this, if it's of interest, do let me know. But, you know, writing that book and self-publishing it really completely changed my life, like changed the trajectory of the Little Plantation, just changed everything. And it is not so much that the book itself was life-changing, in that, was it successful? Yes. Did it sell well? Yes, it sold well. All the things. But it was more about achieving that, you know, achieving the publishing of the book against all odds, against what everybody said, in the middle of a pandemic, which honestly, like, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, that really knocked me for six. Like, That was a pretty tough period. And to do it also just as we were entering into Brexit and all the trouble there was with suppliers, and it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare and so stressful. But I think what that whole experience allowed me to see is what I'm capable of. And so I kind of wonder if it gave me, like, some extra strength so that when things came along that previously I would have been like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ready. I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I'm a little scared. No, thank you. This year, I was very much like, okay, I did the book thing, which was like so, so hard for me. Like this next thing just seems like a walk in the park. And I think that newfound confidence, I guess, that really allowed me to lean into my career so much more and try new things and be a little bit bolder and take it a step further, so to say. So I feel like my photography has evolved so much and I've really pushed it into a different direction and really stretched it and not stayed in my comfort zone in terms of how I've created. And I feel like I've created my best work for my clients this year, just really just pushing it up the next level kind of thing. And I don't know if I'd have the same level of confidence to do that and to say yes to the contracts that I did this year without that book experience. So from that angle, it was life-changing. And then also, you know, to lean back into my word impact, I really felt that the people who really, really got the book, it really impacted them on a deep level. So the connection that they felt with the book and the connection they felt with my words in my book, I know they felt inspired. I know it pushed them to their own next creative limits, so to say. And that was just wonderful. I've often used this analogy. I've used the giving birth to this book, you know, analogy. It's the same as when you give birth to a child. Obviously, it's different, but you know, bear with me. And I know that for a lot of women, when they give birth to their very first child, they're like, oh, this was so hard. I never want to do it again. And then a year later, they're like, actually, I'm ready for child number two. And that's how I felt with this book. Like after I wrote Creative Food Photography, I was like, this was so hard. I never, ever want to do it again. But now that the dust has settled and things have quieted down a little bit and I've had time to reflect, what I've realized is that I love writing. I love it so much. And although my word of the year for 2022 will not be impact, I would still love that word to guide me through as I move through the next phase of The Little Plantation. And I feel that another book will allow me to do that. So it's not for right now, but in Q4, so the fourth quarter of 2022, I'd love to start creating a little outline for a new book. And I'm not going to talk yet about what that is and just let some ideas marinate. But for me, that's really something that's exciting me and making me smile, like just as I'm talking about it now. Yeah, I love being an author. I love writing and definitely want to lean into that. And I think if I hadn't achieved what I did with Creative Food Photography, I wouldn't feel able to even think about that. But now it feels like something I can think about. The thing that hasn't worked so well this year for me, and this is only now as I'm reflecting back on the year and taking stock, as it were, is out of all the years that I've been blogging and all the years that I've been doing food photography and blogging full time, 2021 was the year I created the least amount of content. So I created less blog posts than I've ever done before. I created less podcast episodes than any other previous year. I created less Instagram posts. I'm pretty sure I haven't counted it, but just my gut tells me that this year was the year I posted the least amount of content. And I definitely know that I want to do that differently next year. The reason I didn't do it is just I didn't have the time to, and there were other things that I was prioritizing. But you know what? If I think about what works for me in my business, my blog is a huge, huge driver for especially my food photography business, my in-person workshops. Like so many of the things that I do stem from blog traffic. And posting just, I think I created maybe 6 blog posts or something like that in the last 12 months. It's just not good enough. And then also, again, going back to what I was saying before, I love to write. I love creating written content. And so it's just so silly of me, essentially, not to lean into the thing that actually works and the thing that I really enjoy doing. And also, you know, so many of you have been so kind to give me really positive feedback on the blog posts I do put out there. So I know I did one on restaurant photography not too long ago, one about festive food photography. I'll link to all of those in the show notes. in terms of what's including your portfolio, etc. And the feedback was just wonderful. So I know that it's content that you enjoy, and I want to continue to serve you. And also just from a business perspective, creating blog posts, every time I do, it impacts my bottom line. And so not doing it is just a really unwise decision and something I want to change. And the same with the podcast. I have talked about this so much, I think the last couple of weeks, but it is a fundamental part of the little plantation, the business, the entire business. And I only, I think, published something like 20 episodes over the whole entire year. And so I keep thinking about what would happen if I doubled that. Like, how would that impact how I show up in the world, how I show up for you? How would that impact you and your growth, your development? How would that impact my bottom line? Like, there's so much there, untapped potential, so to say, you know, that where I'm like, no, for 2022, I want to do that differently. And the only thing I've been really, really consistent in terms of content creation is my newsletter. Pretty much without fail, every single week, a newsletter goes out. And that's because my newsletter, out of all the things I do, is definitely my number one, but it's not enough. So that's what I'm going to change for next year. And then also, if you listen to last week's podcast episode, or it'd be 2 weeks actually from when I air this, if you listen to the last podcast episode, the bonus episode with Jasmine Starr, I know now is the right time for me to lean into short form video content. I have some ideas of what I want to do, and I'm not attached so much to the outcome, so I'm not set on it being an instant success and my videos being amazing from the start. I just want to have a play and experiment. And I love that feeling of not putting too much pressure on myself around it. But I think now is the time to lean into that and really leverage my Instagram, because I just haven't spent as much time on it. And again, I just think like, oh, if I did, and if I apply all that I know and just really enjoy it the way that I did, say, 3 years ago, I know my impact's just going to be so much wider, and also my bottom line ultimately, right? That said, all of the things that I want to do take time. And the only way that that's going to be a possibility for me to do Instagram, to continue to write my newsletters, to be a little bit more consistent on the podcast, to be more consistent on the blog, all the things, I cannot do that all by myself. That leads me really nicely into the bit that worked well this year and what I'm really looking forward to doing even better in 2022. So at the start of 2021, I had two part-time members of staff, Christina, who has been with me from day dot since I went pro, she's been there, and Beatrice, who joined a year later. So Beatrice has been with me for 3 years. And you'll know Beatrice from the podcast. She's my Pinterest manager, and she also helps with creating all the PDFs, the stuff for our students, my worksheets and lesson plans and workbooks and all the things. So she helps with that. And Christina does the show notes and some other bits and pieces. She books the podcast guests in and that kind of thing. And at the start of the year, we onboarded a new person, Jennifer, who was one of my food photography students. And she stepped up and has become my VA. And she also is the course coordinator. So she works with all the students and all my mentorees. And having Jennifer on board kind of really felt like completing my team. And it worked really, really well. But I think as things got a little bit crazy behind the scenes and really, really busy, especially with client shoots, I just realized that we needed to expand the team. And so Alex came on board just as a freelancer, so to say, editing the podcast. And now also from November, Eleni has joined the team. And we're still easing Eleni in, but I think she'll be able to take over some really important bits that currently I'm doing. And with her taking that over, it means I'm freed up to really lean into content creation, because that's the thing only I can do, right? Like, nobody else can do that for me. So I'm really excited. So I think I left it very, very late to hire Eleni, but now that she's on board, together with Jennifer, who's upped her hours, and Beatrice and Christina and Alex, like, I feel like it's perfect for me to finally really be able to achieve things without letting my personal health and my connection with my family suffer, so to say. So that was a really big decision for me, one that I was a little fearful of, but it helped so much. And here, what I would say in terms of for you, if you're noticing that you're getting traction in your food photography business or you're getting traction in your food blogging business, I would really advise you to see if there's things that you're doing that are really, really time consuming and something that you could hand over. So I often speak to my mentorees about this. Like if you're spending a lot of time going grocery shopping, spending a lot of time washing the dishes after a shoot or cleaning up, or, you know, if there's things that actually need to get done, are important, but are not the parts that are the money spinning elements of your business, is that something that you could outsource? So it means that you have more time to spend on things that actually make a difference in your business. So I don't know where you're at, and I don't know if this resonates, but if you're spinning too many plates and noticing that you're spending time on things that maybe somebody else could do much better than you, much more efficiently, and that will allow you to then focus in on the stuff that you always wanted to do, like write your book or something like that, then I would invite you to consider whether it's now time to hire somebody and add somebody to your team. Right. There are two more things that I did this year that I really feel made a huge difference in how I showed up and how my business operated, and really want to focus in on those before I bring the episode to a close. But the very first one is, I do this every year, I have to say, but I invested back into the Little Plantation quite a bit this year. So one of the things I did is that we changed our email provider from MailChimp to Flowdesk. And that was a huge undertaking. So it's actually so much more affordable to use Flowdesk versus MailChimp. But it takes a whole load of time to do that. And that's staff time that needs to be paid for. But it just was also a huge investment of time from my part, because I was part of that transition team, so to say. But investing that time into the Little Plantation to get our email list sorted, especially because, as I mentioned before, it's such a fundamental part of what I do and how the Little Plantation operates. You know, it was time well spent for sure. The second thing I did is I invested in a brand new website and in an SEO manager. So the SEO manager you'll know about because I had Karen on the podcast just a couple of weeks ago. And the website, I don't think I shared that completely with you, but we had it completely redesigned and really with SEO front and center. Because I've run my blog for a really long time and I had done work with an SEO specialist before, so my website's SEO is already pretty good, but then kind of optimizing it with Karen's input and then also just optimizing the visual experience to be much more in line with what the Little Plantation is as a brand, you know, that was a little bit expensive, but I am just so pleased with the outcome. I also think there's certain investments that you make where you see like have an instant return, like you can instantly tell there's this huge spike in your business or whatever. And with SEO and even with a website redesign, that's not like this huge, suddenly transformative thing. But I can see the impact of that kind of trickling through little by little by little, just a couple more blog hits every single day. And also, I think the people that are inquiring to study with me and people who are inquiring to work with me, it's just a kind of different sort of person who really likes the finer things, so to say, which fits perfectly with where I want the Little Plantation to go, you know, kind of next level and to feel super, super lush. So yes, so those were two really, really big investments that I this year. And again, turning around and seeing if there's something that you feel that you could invest in. It doesn't have to be a huge investment. It doesn't even have to be a financial investment. It could be a time investment, like learning a new skill, or I don't know, you know, you'll know what that is. But is there anything that would allow you to take that next step forward, to attract the right customer, or to just feel more confident in how your presenting yourself, or I don't know, you know, or maybe you have a podcast and you're like, oh, if I had a better mic, it would just mean that the sound quality would be just that next level. You know, so maybe spending a little bit of time thinking about where to invest in next. And I think it's so easy to just get any sort of new course and join any kind of workshop and pay for this and pay for that, again, without having a clear focus, without having a roadmap, without having those clear goals. It's so much harder to make those investment decisions. But once you set those goals, through that lens of those goals, thinking about, you know, if I invest here, is it going to bring me closer to that goal? That can be so helpful. So yes, I would definitely invite you to think about investing, because every little investment, every little right investment can definitely allow your creative business, your food photography business, to just take that next step forward. The very last decision that I made this year that I feel just so happy about, and that was definitely a decision and a step in the right direction, is that I joined a mastermind this year and found a new coach. I've been without a coach for about 2 years. And you know, what's really interesting is, like, is it possible to operate without a coach or without a mentor? And I would say anything is possible, and everybody's different as well. So, you know, was my business failing the last 2 years when I didn't have a coach? No, absolutely not. But it just gets to a point, I think a couple of things there that I just realized I needed support with. One of the things is that there's so many tiny little decisions that you need to make. Am I going to speak at the summit? Should I bring out a new preset pack? Should I focus on dark and moody in my photography? Should I go all in on reels? Should I, you know, like, there's so many little decisions you have to make every single day. And it just gets to a point sometimes where, or for me anyways, where there was a little bit of decision fatigue setting in, or where some of the decisions were really big and I felt very alone in making those decisions. And so having support from somebody who's just gone, you know, a couple of steps ahead of me, and having a much more bigger picture view than me, who's so in it, it's just been wonderful. I think the second thing for me with joining the mastermind and finding my new coach is that a lot of the things that I was encountering now at this stage, I didn't have a lot of friends who could relate to those things, those quote unquote struggles, because it's all first world problems, I have to say. But yeah, like feeling a little bit like I didn't have the friendship group who quite understood what I was dealing with, if that makes sense. So that's not to say that I don't have wonderful friends and that they're not super supportive. You know, I have amazing friends and I adore them and I feel they care about me and they want to give me the best possible advice and all the things, but they're not living quite what I'm living. They're living something different, and they probably have struggles and setbacks that I can't quite relate to or quite understand. So I don't want to make it sound like my problems are somehow bigger or better or whatever. But being in a group with people who have either the same struggles or have resolved those and moved forward, that's just been amazing and really life-changing, actually, and allowed me to look at things from a different angle that I didn't quite see before. So yes, that's just been wonderful. And the final bit to that is I have done a lot of work around my mindset and how I view things and how I approach things. But mainly that has been through reading books. Like, if you follow me on Instagram, you know, like, I'm a really big bookworm and I have my book highlight and what have you. And I read a lot and I find that so helpful. But sometimes there's the act of, and maybe you can relate to this also in terms of food photography, like you can read all the food photography books, you can watch all the YouTube videos, you can listen to all the podcasts, but unless you then go and apply that, it doesn't quite have the same impact. And so within my mastermind, there is also a mindset coach. So we have to actually do mindset exercises. And that's just been life-giving. It's been so helpful. And a really, really good decision that I made in my business this year. And I'm just so glad that it will carry over into 2022. I've just loved it so much. I felt held and supported. And yeah, I think those are kind of the things. So goal setting, having a word of the year, writing and self-publishing my book, hiring, investing in my business, and then joining a mastermind. So those are the things that really, really worked. I don't know if there's one there where you're like, oh, I'm going to take that and use it. And then what hasn't worked for me, just to recap on that as well, having too many lofty, lofty goals, putting my business goals before my personal and family goals, spreading myself too thin and doing too many things, and falling behind on content creation, which is like the backbone of everything I do at The Little Plantation. So that was 2021. I am so excited for 2022. Just so excited. I can't stop talking about the mastermind that I'm going to launch and the new course and just delving into reels. But until then, I wanted to say thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this year, for bearing with me as episodes have been sporadic once again, but for supporting this podcast, for sharing it with friends, family, neighbors, your Instagram audience, everybody. Download numbers this season have been really, really good. And I mentioned this on Instagram stories because of you listening and sharing and bookmarking and telling your friends. It's just been wonderful to see the podcast grow. And it's also allowed me to get, you know, bigger guests onto the show and be a little bit more experimental. And yeah, I just want to thank you so much. And really, really excited to be back next year. Episode 1 of season 7 is scheduled to air, recommencing the 10th of January, 2022. And I can't wait. So I'll see you then. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. Yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care.